This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه في صفة حج النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال يعني قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ابدأوا بما بدأ الله به أخرجه النسائي هكذا بلفظ الأمر وهو عند مسلم بلفظ الخبر. Narrated Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anh regarding the Hajj of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, begin with what Allah had begun with. Reported by An-Nasa'i in his commanding version, reported An-Nasa'i in this commanding version. So he's giving an order, begin with what Allah had begun with. But also it's reported in Sahih Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala, Muslim has reported it in the reporting one, as a report, as a statement, not as an amr, not as an order. So this hadith Jabir radiallahu anhu, reported, is a very famous hadith Jabir fi sifati hajj an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is most famous hadith in detail of how the Prophet ﷺ performed the hajj. And it is in all the books of Sunan, Abu Dawood, wa Tirmidhi, wa Nasa'i, wa Ibn Majah, and Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah. And the hadith is very long, like multiple pages. And part of this hadith, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, after he finished tawaf around al-Ka'bah, then in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam prayed two rak'ahs behind Maqam Ibrahim. Then he drank from Zamzam. Then he start walking towards As-Safa wal-Marwa. Now you have these two mountains. Which one did he start with? He started with As-Safa. And when he went to As-Safa, he said the statement, ابدأوا بما بدأ الله به. Start with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned first. Then he recited the verse, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. الصَّفَى and al-marwa from شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. So Allah in the Quran mentioned al-safa before al-marwa. So that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started it with al-safa before al-marwa. Also in Sahih Muslim, ابْدَأُوا بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, as a statement, not as an order for the companions. Here, I have a question. It came in Sahih Muslim, نَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. We start with what Allah has started with. While in An-Nasa'i, it's an order. Start with what Allah has started with. So in Sahih Muslim, we start with what Allah started with as a statement. The other one is an order. When we have this in Ilm al-Hadith, in Science of Hadith, two narrations like this, one of the first questions we ask ourselves, could the Prophet ﷺ have said this in different or multiple occasions? So somebody heard it once this way and someone heard it once this way. Is this a possibility here? No, because the Nabi made only one hajj. So it's not a possibility. ما تكررت الحادثة. It didn't happen multiple times. Okay? So here we look at these two narrations and we say one of them has illah, one of them has a problem, because these statements are not equal. One is an order or one is a statement. And when we look at the two narrations, we found the one in Sahih Muslim is more popular, is more authentic, than the one in Nasa'i. The one in Sahih Muslim is reported by the greatest scholar of hadith. Like who? Like Al-Imam Malik, Wal-Imam Sufyan Al-Thawri, Wayahya ibn Sa'id Al-Qattan. These are the greatest scholars of hadith of their time. So they all confirmed the revelation of Muslim, not the narration of Al-Nasa'i. And because of this, many of the ulama said the narration of Al-Nasa'i is shadh, weak narrations. Like Al-Imam ibn Daqiq Al-Eid, Wal-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah, وابن عبد الهادي وغيرهم. And الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله has a good research on regard to this in his book إرواء الغليل, for those who are interested in more detail to review it. That's what those imams said, like الشيخ الألباني and ابن دقيق العيد and عبد الهادي and ابن حجر and some others. أنا لا يظهر لي شذوذ الرواية. I don't agree with this conclusion that this narration of النسائي is weak, shad. Why? Because the condition of saying this is a weak narration or shad narration, أن يروي الراوي ما يخالف به الآخرين. When you narrate something that contradict what other people narrated. طيب, I have a question for you, and that's important. Is there is any contradiction between the two, any difference between the two narrations? One, it gave an order, said, start with what Allah started with. And the other one, making a statement. We start with what Allah started with. هل ترون في الأمر والخبر مغايرة؟ طبعا في مغايرة في اللفظ, there is, the format is different. لكن in Arabic language, this is something we call الخبر الذي يراد به الإنشاء. In Arabic language, we have something very interesting. The Arab, sometimes they make a statement, and that statement is an order. And that's a common in the Quran. For instance, Allah يقول, والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة قروء. Divorce woman, wait, 3 قر. قر, it means 3 cycles of periods. طيب, here, is this an order? No, this is a statement. But that statement says, implies, oh, divorce woman, you must wait 3 periods. So even though it's a statement, but that statement, it's an order. Okay? So for example, Allah, for example, He might say, Allah loves those who pray. It's a statement, but it means you must pray. Al-ulama will understand from that. That's how the Arabic language works. So some of these statements that comes, khabar, we call them in Arabic, it can carry the same meaning of the order. So if this is the case, there is no contradiction between Nasa'i and Muslim. And there is no need for us to nahkum alayha bishudu. There is no need for us to say it is shad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Anyway, why this hadith came? This is in Hajj. Why Ibn Hajar brought this hadith? What do you guys think? What this hadith has to do with wudu? Ya salam alaik, Allah yiftah alaik, mashaAllah. It is in relation to a very important concept, which is the order of wudu must or not? Do we have to start with the hand first, then the face, then the hand, the whole entire hand, then wipe the hair, then the feet comes last? Is that must or not? So it tartib, the order of the actions of wudu. Is it something must come to this basically order or it's not? This hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said we start with what Allah started with, establish a rule of thumb. قَعَدْ قَاعِدَ وَأَصَلْ عِنْدَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And they said anything in the Quran comes. Any actions in the Quran comes, one following another. And between them, the letter wa, harful atful waw, and basically these actions must be done according to the same order they were mentioned in the Quran. For instance, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, irka'u wasjudu, make ruku' and make sujood. So ruku' comes before sujood. Okay? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu irka'u wasjudu. So they said this is basically the rule. And Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala have mentioned this hadith is to establish the concept of the issue of having wudu in order. So what's the ruling in regarding to having the wudu in order? I want to start with one thing that everybody agree upon, which is the order that was mentioned in the Quran, and we've been saying it in hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No doubt it is the best way to make the wudu by everyone. But is this order must? What if you get confused and you made one body part before the other? What if your little kid's learning the wudu and he didn't put in the order one day? He doesn't, or just somebody new Muslim and he didn't make it in order. Type, I have something even much better for you. What if you make wudu while you're taking a shower? Which is you don't follow the order. You just go under the shower. So maybe the face will be washed before the hand. And, you know, maybe the feet comes before you put your feet inside the bathtub. You wash the feet before the rest of your body. And you make this. What if the wudu comes in the shower, not in the same order? Do I have to put these body part in the same order or not? Before I start, I also want to establish a fact. The second fact is, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever made a wudu in orders different than what we have or what is known to all of you. We don't know any time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have made or any authentic narration, and there is one narration, we'll talk about it in a little bit. The first opinion, they said, we must do the wudu according to the order that was mentioned in the Quran, in the verse in the Quran. And that's the majority of the scholars, the Shafi'is, the Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and the Hanabila, Ishaq ibn Rahaway, Abu Thawr, and Imam Abu Ubaid, and many great scholars and fuqaha, and their evidence are the following. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha qumtum ila salah, faghsilu wujuhakum. Oh, who you believe, if you stand up for salah, before you pray, faghsilu wujuhakum, wash your face, wa aydiyakum, wash your hands all the way to your elbows, wamsahu bi ru'usikum, wipe over your head, wa ighsilu arjulakum, yani waghsilu arjulakum, and wash your feet. So they said, number one, these actions came in this order in the Quran. And we should keep the order of the Quran as is. Okay, because there is wow between each one of them, and we just heard the rule. Also, they said, there is something here important to pay attention to it. Guys, do we wipe over the face or we wash the face? Wash the face. Do we wash? طيب, what about the hands? We wash it. طيب, what about the feet? We wash it. طيب, what about the hair? We wipe it. But did you notice we have three things that we wash and one thing that we wipe? So he mentioned washing the face, washing the hands, then wiping over the head, then washing the feet. Going back to washing. In Arabic language, the balagha, the eloquency of talking, that you put the thing that you wash together and the thing that you wipe together. Mixing them is not a good way of talking. Unless you meant the order. So I put the wiping in the middle because the wiping have to be in that order. Otherwise, if the order is not meant, this will be weak Arabic. Weak Arabic. The Arabs will consider this as a weak expression or not a perfect way of saying things. And we know the Quran is perfect. So it only became perfect because Allah meant that order. Yani, I give you another example. For example, Arabic language. If I want to say Ahmed, Muhammad, Hamad, okay, three, Ahmed, or Muhammad, or Hamad, three boys, and Hamida, sister, her name Hamida. I want them to enter. It will be a weak way of saying it if I say, entered Ahmed, Muhammad, Hamida, and Hamad. I put the girl in the middle of the boys. I should mention the boys or the men, then the woman, or the woman, then the man. You see, you following me? Unless I meant the order of entering to the masjid or entering to the classroom. If the order is, if I'm a pure Arabic speaker and you find me saying, mentioning three men, a woman, then fourth man after a man after that, it means I meant the order of entering. There must be a secret behind that. Otherwise, a pure Arabic speaker will never mix them like that. So that's something in the Arabic nature. So because of this, we understood that the wiping, because it's in the middle between washing, it's the order. And that's what the Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah mentioned. قال ذكر الله للممسوحات بين المغسولات على خلاف عادة العرب إلا إذا قصد الترتيب إلى آخر كلام. They also said that الإمام مسلم رحمه الله reported that النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said any Muslim, any one of you will bring water to make wudu. Then he will rinse his mouth, blow his nose. All the sins of his nose and his mouth will come out. And if he washes his face as Allah ordered him, all the sins of his face will come down with the last drop from his beard. And if he washes his hands all the way to the elbow, all the sins that he committed with the hands will come out of him with the last drops of his hand. Then if he, after that, wipe over his head, all the sins of his head will go. Then in Arabic language, thumma ghasala qadamay, then he washed. So from this hadith, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said thumma, then. And I think in English as well, then it means order. That's right. And in English, I cannot say this, then that, unless I meant the order of it. That's right? So the same thing in Arabic language. Thumma, it means a tartib. So they said this hadith is very explicit that this the order of the wudu. Is that clear? Also they said, did it in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made wudu thousands of times in his lifetime? Not a single time he made it mixed. Didn't the Sahaba made hundreds of thousands of times the wudu? Yes. Not a single companion said anything other than that or approved anything like other than that. So we say there is a rule we have in Sharia. Al-Imam al-Shatibi rahimahullah established that rule. He said with a lot of good evidence, أن الأصل في العبادات التحريم the default rules in any act of worship, it is haram to be initiated unless there is a proof. So anything in the religion, you cannot initiate it from your own self unless there is a proof for it. You cannot say, wallahi, let's start a fasting. You know what? I think fasting Wednesday is a good thing to do. What do you think, Muhammad? Kind of Wednesday, you know, like, I can't do that. How about if we add one salah? You can't do that. So any ibadah, it's forbidden for you to start it, understood? And anything in the ibadah, you cannot say, hey, how about Isha? Let's make Isha only 2 rak'ahs in the summer. Or let's do Fajr 3. Or you can't change anything in the deen unless you have proof. So they said you cannot change the order of wudu and you play around with it unless you have what? Proof, and there is no proof. Is that a good argument? So that's the first group. The second group said the order of wudu is only sunnah, recommended, but is not must. And the one who take that position is the Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and the Imam Malik ibn Anas, the Imam Dar al-Hijrah. And by the way, very rare these two agreed on something, rahimahumullah ta'ala, the Maliki and the Hanafis. And some Shafi'i, like Imam al-Muzani rahimahullah, and among the great scholars, Imam ibn al-Mundir, and he was attributed to the Shafi'iyya. And they claim that this is the position of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and the position of Imam al-Kabir, Sufyan al-Thawri, the Imam of Ahl al-Kufa, and Imam Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, the great scholar of the Tabi'in, and Makhul, and Ibrahim al-Nakhai, wa jama'a min al-Salaf, and a group of al-Salaf. And what's their proof? That's interesting. Their proof is the verse that we recited in the Quran. They said Allah in this verse said, wash your face and your hand and wipe over your head and wash your feet. And in Arabic language, it doesn't mean order. Ibn Abdul Barr rahimahullah said, that's not true. Who said that if and comes in the Quran, it means the order? This and this. Irka'u wastudu, make ruku' and sujood. It doesn't establish the order. Don't let Jehwari just deceive you with that. Or anyone speak to you like this. Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah, قال والحجتu عند صاحبنا مالك. The proof for Malik, for his position, is this verse. Because this verse clearly stated there is no order meant. It's like when you say, أعطي زيدا وعمرا دينارا. Give Zayd and Amr $1. It doesn't mean I have to give Zayd before Amr. The point is, make sure that you give Amr and give Zayd. So the verse is said, make sure that you wash the face, make sure that you wipe over the head, wash the feet. So that's what the Quran telling us. It doesn't matter what order, what it matters is that this part of your body must be washed or wiped over. And they said, who said that and is, it means order? How about this? وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. Complete the Hajj and the Umrah. Which one comes first, Hajj or Umrah? Umrah comes before Hajj, not after Hajj. They said, who said that every time that you put and, it means order? وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. Perform the salah and give zakat. So Ibn Abdul Barr said, who said that we have to give the zakat after we pray? Who said that you have to pray 2 rak'ah or salah before you give zakat? فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ وَدِيَةٌ مُسَلَّمَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ إِلَّا أَن يَصَّدَّقُوا. This verse, in related to killing someone by mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you free a slave, a believing slave, and you give the blood money, or that if you kill someone by mistake, there is a penalty that you have to pay for the inheritance of the family of the deceased. So the Quran said, free a slave and give them the money. Nobody ever said that you have to free the slave first, then the... Nobody said that the order is must. And Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah, said many evidence. And he said this verse that, yani, happy with it, raka'u was to do, make ruku' and make sujood. How about this? Ya Maryam uqnuti li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i. And he said, how about this verse in the Quran? Allah said to Maryam, make sujood and ruku'. Nobody ever said that order is meant to be sujood before ruku'. So they said, that's number one. Number two, they said, Al-Rabi' bin Mu'awwad reported that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam rinsed his mouth and blow his nose, okay, after he washed his face, not before washing his face. And this hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood and Imam Ahmad rahimahullah reported in his Musnad. And to be honest, this hadith is weak. And even if we say it's authentic, the nose and the rinsing is part of the face. So before or after, that's not the point. Because the point is you follow the order of the verse in the Quran. As long as the face, whatever related to the face, is not before the feet or after the feet or after the hand, we're fine. Also, they said, طيب, there is another narration عن المقداد بن معدي كر أبي كريمة that the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم rinse his mouth and blow his nose after he washed his hand. Not after the face, after he washed his hand. Yeah, that's completely different. Okay, but this narration also in Sunan Abi Dawood and Ibn Majah, it is shadda, it is weak, and goes against the order that is well established and well narrated by the narrator of this narration. This narration only comes from a narrator by the name Abdurrahman Ibn Maysara, and he is unknown, majhul, al-hal. And even if we say it's authentic, the narration mentioned that he did this and this, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it was meant to mention the order. They said there is certain scholars among the early generation didn't take the order of the wudu. For example, they said, Ali ibn Abi Talib said, I don't care which one of my body part I wash first, as long I wash it perfectly. قال لا أبالي بأي أعضائي بدأت إذا أتممت وضوئي. But this narration in Sunan al-Bayhaqi and al-Darqutni, weak, because it has Ziyad Mawla bani Makhzum, and he's a weaker narrator. And then authentic narration from Ali radiallahu anhu has nothing to do with the order. Has to do with the order of left versus right. Ali was asked about someone wash his left hand before his right hand. Left foot, he said, I don't care which one I start with, as long as I do it correct. So this is nothing to do with the order that mentioned in the Quran. You following? Same thing they said, Ibn Mas'ud said. Ibn Mas'ud wasn't talking about the order. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh was talking, the authentic narration of Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas and others has to do with the left versus the right. As for the narration of Ibn Mas'ud, la abas, it doesn't matter if you start with your feet before your hand. It is in Sunan al-Bayhaqi and al-Darqutni, and both said it is weak. And Ibn Qudama rahimahullah said, la asla lahu, يعني, no basis this narration. Also, Ibn Abbas narrated that he washed his face, then his hand, then his feet, then he wiped over his head. Completely messed up the order of the wudu. But again, also, this is weak. And then Ahmad rahimahullah said, the narration that it says it doesn't matter which one you start with, it has to do with the left and hand, as Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said. And then Imam bin Abdul Hadi rahimahullah, in his book, Al-Tanqih, he mentioned these narrations from Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, and others. One of the evidence that those groups said, the Hanafi said, when you make ghusl al-janaba, do you have to put this in order? When you take shower, do you have to have an order? No. So as exactly, since order, yes, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in ghusl al-janaba, he did the right side first and the left, but everybody said sunnah, nobody said it's must. So since the ghusl, the shower, no order in it, wudu, which is the minor one, should no wudu, no order in it. An-Nawawi rahimahullah said this is not correct. Why? Because this qiyas is not valid. Why? Because the point in ghusl is to wash the body. It's like when I tell you the point is to wash the hand. It doesn't matter about you start with the top, you start from the middle, you start from the bottom, because the point is to wash the hand. And because ghusl janaba, ghusl, it means your whole entire body became like one piece. It needs to be washed. But when we make a wudu, these not whole entire part are one piece. There's hand, there is face, there is head, there is feet, you know, and there is other part of your body, neck, you don't wash it, or you don't wipe over it, and so forth. They said, isn't he, if he jumped in the water like in a river and came out, wouldn't that be considered wudu? And he didn't put in order. You know what? not everybody agree. There is many scholars among the Hanabila, for example, and others. Like Ibn Qudama said, if you dip yourself in water and it came out, that does not wudu. He doesn't consider this valid wudu, because the order is not there. Unless you are inside the bath, the swimming pool, or in the river, or in the water, you wash your hand while you are inside. So that's not something agreed upon, first of all. Maybe if you dive, will be also a good idea. And I think there is a difference. Because if you go inside the river and you dump and you dip yourself or you go to the shower, this is not called wudu. This is ghusl. Al-ghusl is the ruling different than wudu. You cannot make that qiyas. And al-ghusl is bigger than wudu, is more purifying than wudu. No. Al-wudu and the ghusl is sunnah. Nobody ever said it's a condition. Or must. So this qiyas, in my opinion, is completely irrelevant. Because I do believe that if you go in the water and you dip yourself and you, with the intention of removing the hadath, removing the state of not being on wudu, by doing this, you are purified. It's like taking a shower instead of making wudu. That's absolutely valid. Absolutely valid. An absolute ripple. That's why the woman who was bleeding, in Nabi Sallam gave him option. Either she make wudu for each salah or she take a shower for both salah. And the shower is sufficient. By the way, those who said the order is must, they said if you do the wudu and you find out you forgot something or part of your wudu is not, they said you can just made it up and you don't need to start over again. So let's say you made the wudu and you, did I rinse my mouth? Did I blow my nose? I'm not sure. Did I do my between my finger? You didn't. Those scholar who said it's the order is must, they said you can just do it. You don't need to start over again. Imam Ahmed rahimahullah was asked about that, and he said that. I do believe that the opinion of saying the wudu in order is must is more stronger. Opinion, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously made his, during his lifetime, the wudu, and he never, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for a single time ever went against that order. And because the way the verse is stated in the Quran, otherwise that will not be a perfect Arabic language, as Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah said. Next hadith, hadith Jabir radiallahu anhu, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا توضأ أدار الماء على مرفقيه أخرجه الدارقطني بإسناد ضعيف. Narrated Jabir ibn Abdullah that the Prophet ﷺ used to run the water down his elbow while performing ablution. Reported by Daraqutni with the weak chain of narrators. Yes, this hadith in Sunan Daraqutni and also al-Bayhaqi in Sunan al-Kubra, both from Abbad ibn Ya'qub and al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Aqil, he said his grandfather said that Jabir radiallahu anhu said this hadith. But this hadith, al-Qasim ibn Muhammad al-Aqili, Imam Ahmad said, ليس بشيء, he is nothing. يعني not worth of taking anything from him. And al-Bukhari قال عنده مناكير. And العلماء يكادوا يتفقون على تضعيفه. He's a very, very weak narrator. As Imam al-Bukhari, Abu Zura'a, Ibn Qatta, all of them agreed that he's absolutely weak narrator. That's why Ibn al-Jawzi, wal-Mundhiri, Ibn al-Salah, wal-Nawwi, Ibn Hajar, all of them said it's a very weak narration. Adara al-ma, what that means, that he said, run the water down on his elbow. Yani it means he let the water goes all the way to the elbow to cover the whole complete elbow. And the elbow, al-mirfaq, it's the elbow, okay? And the point of the hadith, the point of the hadith is when you wash your hand, you must basically wash your elbow. Okay? You must wash the elbow. And even the narration is weak. There is a very authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, hadith Abi Huraira. We mentioned that before. That قال مسح يدي حتى شرع في عضدي. That the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, he washes hand, غسل يدي, and he washes hand until he start with his العضد, this part of his hand, which is beyond the elbow. Is what you call that, doctor? This part, the beginning of the triceps and biceps, I guess. You know, the where it start. He started with this, all the way to that. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah and Ibn Hajar and Talkhis al-Habir said this hadith is Muslim is sufficient. You don't need this weak narration. The weak narrator, Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad. Al-Aqili, Al-Aqili. Washing the elbow in the wudu is something almost agreed upon. Only Abu Bakr ibn Dawood al-Zahiri and Zufar among the Ahnaf and some Maliki, Ashhab bin said that he also take the position of among the Malikiyah that elbow is not included in wudu. The elbow is not included in the wudu. So Zufar is a very famous Hanafi scholar. And Ashhab, there is a debate, did really Ashhab said that or not? And you have Zahiri, Abu Bakr ibn Dawud al-Zahiri. They said the elbow is not included. But this is very weak opinion. Qawl Shad goes against the appearance from the Quran, وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. Wash your feet, your hands, all the way to the elbow. إلى المرافق to the elbow, it means to include what is after to. الغاية داخلة في المغية. It's like when Allah سبحانه وتعالى said يزدكم قوة إلى قوتكم, يعني قوة مع قوتكم. So إلى هنا معناها مع. Wash your hands and your elbow. إلى المرافق and your elbow. It's like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِلَى, the letter إِلَى, وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَى قُوَّتِكُمْ. He increase you with the strength to be added to your strength. So, إِلَى, it means to be added to it. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَى أَمْوَالِكُمْ, يعني مع أموالكم. Okay. وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, your feet إلى الكعبين, to the ankles. It means it's included in the washing. العلماء رحمه الله said that this is basically a part of the wudu that you need to include. We'll stop here. The next hadith is also a weak narration, but it's more, there is more debate over the authenticity of it. And today is my first day almost to get out of the house and to be able to speak. not still recovered 100% yet, my voice, because of cold. But the next hadith, hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, لا وضوء لمن لم يذكر اسم الله عليه. There is no wudu ablution for one who doesn't mention Allah's names upon it. And we will come to know why the Prophet said upon it. What upon it means? عليه إيش إيش التعبير العجيب هذا؟ عليه كيف يقال اسم الله عليه؟ And we will know that العلماء رحمهم الله, the majority of them said mentioning the name of Allah in the beginning of wudu is sunnah. Imam Ahmad رحمه الله, in one narration for Imam Ahmad رحمه الله, اختارها الخلال وأبو يعلى, said that it is must. But another narration which is chosen by Ibn Qudama and Kharaqi and others said it is sunnah, and also Shafi'i wa Abu Hanifa wa Malik, they think saying Bismillah is only sunnah, is not must. And wudu, get to learn about this and the evidence of each group inshallah ta'ala next class. Next class, this class particularly, will be inshallah ta'ala, let me just pull my calendar. Our next class will be inshallah on January 17, inshallah ta'ala. So our next fiqh class, we have inshallah something on Wednesday, but not necessarily to be bulugh al-mara. My plan after we finish al-wudu is to cover nawaqid al-wudu and al-mas'h al-khuffayn, wiping over the socks, and the, what nullify the wudu, from a book of fiqh, not necessarily hadith. Maybe we'll switch to a book of fiqh, so you can get a variety, and it's more focus. And maybe we add to it the shower, the ghusl as well. It'll be a much faster rate. If that's something you guys like, we'll talk about it, inshallah, when we come to that point. And we might take a break for a couple of months, taking another subject other than fiqh, maybe something in tafsir al-Qur'an, or something in aqidah. And every 4 or 5 months we can come back to bulugh al-maram and continue. So this way people don't get bored with just one subject, inshallah ta'ala. And also it's an opportunity for the people to learn different methods of ilm. So sometimes you learn it through explanation of a hadith, explanation of textbooks and fiqh, explaining ayatul ahkam, tafsir of ayatul ahkam and so forth, aqidah and so forth. جزاكم الله خير. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله. The reason I will not be here, because I'm going for Umrah inshallah next Monday. And I'll be back inshallah January 13th.